At the junction of Renfield Street and West Regent Street, stand on the northwest corner at the lights and look diagonally opposite at the facade of the former cinema. Former president of the Royal Glasgow Institute of Fine Arts, Karen Curry, describes this corner.
What really strikes me, if I might say, first of all, about the whole junction is that it's got an extraordinary collection of styles and materials. You've got red brick, you've got red sandstone, you've got blonde sandstone opposite, and then you've got white granite, and which is, of course, the Odeon.
You're absolutely right. It's kind of interesting. It's not just materials, because it's also the sort of shifting in gears of the styles as you go around the corner. So you kind of start off with Scottish baronial, which is kind of 1850s, with quite a grand Scottish baronial business chambers. And then you move on to the next one is what was the Prudential Assurance Building. So that's 1890. And then you go into Castle Chambers on the southwest corner, which is the huge red sandstone one.
With amazing detail.
Oh, absolutely. Great sort of Glasgow Baroque building. And then you end up in Art Deco on the side opposite, and the thing that's kind of rarest in Glasgow city centre.
And what was called night architecture, because in a way it spawned a whole new generation of architecture, which relied so much on light. This was the first building, I think, that really made such a feature of the neon lighting that was to dominate as the decades went on. At the moment, of course, it's a very sad-looking building. Mm-hmm. And let's hope that the conservation requirement to retain the facade does pertain in due course. And there is talk, I believe, of restoring what was an absolutely magnificent interior with a great grand staircase. Mm-hmm. Where do you find that now in a cinema?
Absolutely.
And a majestic auditorium. 2,800 people, I think, it could have.
That's absolutely.
An organ that could come up. And the other distinctive feature of this crossroads, it lends itself completely to the maxim, look up when you're in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. Because at street level, although, of course, entrances are quite impressive, there's nothing really to take your eye up, and with the most extraordinary flamboyance of architecture and styles.
Having said that, what I quite like is when you look at the Castle Chambers, and it's Frank Burnett in Boston, nominally, who's the architects for that. But that was probably by their best draftsman, a guy called James Carruthers, who was a really accomplished Art Nouveau designer and did some quite interesting kind of Glasgow style work before he went off and became a classicist after that. By the First World War, he's a classicist. What he does there, which is quite nice, is where you turn that corner, you've got this kind of great hexagonal corner tower that takes you into West Regent Street. He has these massive cobble brackets which are taking the weight of this enormous 8-story tower above, and he has these maidens tucked into the corner. So you get these four maidens tucked in the corner, and that was Palace Restaurant behind there. So I assume, given the maidens are really high quality, beautifully sculpted, and I assume because of the things that they're holding, because one of them is holding kind of a wheat shaft, there's a nosegay, that must all be associated presumably with the restaurant. Crossing over to the other side from there, you've got what is now De Quincey House, but which used to be the Prudential Assurance Building. So, and that is a really intriguing building too, because, and very unusually for Scotland, it's in brick.
Absolutely.
Really odd in a city centre.
But interestingly, the brick buildings that we still have in Glasgow, I don't know if there were so many, many more than are still extant, they're all very high quality. I mean, Templeton Factory.
Yes, yes, yeah.
There's a couple of them on the south side in Traceston.
Yes, yes.
They do command attention.
Well, Glasgow was actually really quite good with brick. It was just because it was traditional to use stone. The brick only tends to get used on industrial buildings, hence Templeton's. But there was a whole swathe of them across the south side, which many of which have disappeared. I mean, there was a huge one on McNeill Street, which was a massive bakery, which was like this kind of, huge Flemish palace. And it was a bakery. And it was of the same scale as the Coa buildings you can see going over the Kingston Bridge. To go back to why the brick on that particular building, it's all to do with the architect, Alfred Waterhouse, who is one of the very best British Victorian architects, who was English. And so he's working in the medium that he knows. He's working, it's a building that would probably be more at home in Manchester or Leeds than in Glasgow. But it's still a great building nonetheless. And The reason,
well, it certainly adds to the mix of that, crossroads.
It certainly does. Mm. But it's the reason for that is because it's the Prudential Assurances building. So it's taken from the headquarters in High Holborn, which is in the same style. And it's basically an offshoot from it because it's supposed to be there.
I understand that it's got amazing tiling inside.
Well, it does. It has fabulous faience tiling inside because that was one of the things that he was expert in. And again, that's also a nod to our London headquarters building because that has fabulous faience tiles all the way through the interior of it, and particularly in the boardroom. So they're obviously trying to convey the kind of the ethos and values of their company in that banking hall.
Of course, there was quite a vogue for that in Victorian times. I mean, a lot of, in fact, almost all of the residential buildings had porches that had some kind of almost slightly Moorish design of tiles.